Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on at 2 Corinthians. Actually, I'm going to start the second chapter right now. But I want to remind us of something. What we saw at the end of the first chapter, verses 21 and 22. Let me read this again. It's one sentence. And it says, "Now he," and that's speaking of Most High, "who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge," as a down payment. So I want you to just think about this, that we are, as true believers, established, anointed, and sealed. Okay? We're established in Christ. We're anointed by God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit He's given. And the Holy Spirit and God and Christ are in our heart as a pledge, as a down payment of that which is yet to come. So again, what are we? We're established, we're anointed, we're sealed. Hey, say that to yourself. I'm established, I'm anointed, I am sealed. And you say, wait a minute, I don't feel like that sometimes. Oh yeah, we don't trust our feelings, do we? This is the truth of what the Lord says. Now, I'm going to read it again and finish out this chapter, two more verses, then press on. Watch the flow of this. "Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. But I call God as a witness to my soul that to spare you, I did not come again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for our joy. For in your faith, you are standing firm." So we talked about the previous couple episodes, how he's telling me, he said, "Nah, I didn't come to you because I did not want to bring a harsh word to you face to face." Well, he continues on with this idea in the next verse. Remember, there's no chapter division, no verse division in the original letters. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, Paul continues, "But I determined this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again." Whoa. So what's being said there? That I would not come to you in sorrow again. Well, he had brought some corrective words to him. We've already seen it in 1 Corinthians, right? We saw where he came in and he says, okay, there's some things you need to take care of right here. And, you know, when you read it, some of it might come across as harsh. I don't, you know, when you sort of see his heart and everything, it's not that harsh. It would be embarrassing. Yeah, that kind of thing. But he also wrote some other letters. And there was apparently one that was really, really difficult. Okay. And he says, you know what? I just determined this for my own sake, for me, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. I did not want to come to you with a strong word of rebuke. I've written it in a letter. I want you to think through this. I want you to reason through it. I want to come to you in joy. Verse 2, "For if I cause you sorrow, what then makes me glad but the one whom I made sorrowful?" He said, you are my source of joy. Now, he's not saying that he doesn't receive joy from the Lord and he's getting joy from people. No. Paul says this all the time in his letters about how the ones that he has brought the gospel to who have believed, that they are the joy of his life because he's doing what God has called him to do, and they are believing. And he says, I don't want to bring sorrow into your life. You need to address some things. You need to correct some things. Okay? Verse 3 says this, "This is the very thing I wrote you, so that when I came, I would not have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy would be the joy of you all." So he's saying, hey, you know that thing I wrote you about? The very thing I wrote you about. I didn't want to come sorrowful about this. Okay, I didn't want to do this. Verse 4, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you." So what is it that he's exactly pointing to? You know, what is he addressing? Well, we're about to see something else here in a moment, I hope, if we get to it, that we know one thing that he's talking about, I believe. But even in that, he doesn't say a particular thing. He's referring to some stuff, and we know what he said in a previous letter But there's likely several things. We know in the first letter there were several things that he addressed that could have been the points of sorrow. But look at his heart. He said it was out of affliction and anguish of heart that he wrote them with many tears. And he said, I didn't write to you with these many tears and out of my anguish to make you sorrowful. I did it from my love, that you might know the love that I have for you. See, sometimes we forget, folks, that sorrow and that anguish that you feel, particularly for another person, particularly for family members, especially for children, grandchildren, that kind of thing, that affliction, that anguish of heart that is driven by love, the affliction and anguish of heart sometimes we have for them, for those of the body of Christ that are not doing what they should be doing, we have a role and responsibility to speak forth the truth to them in love. Okay, in love. And it may be in tears. That's what he's saying. I was in tears with this. Verse 5, he continues, but if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. So he's saying if somebody has caused sorrow there and I had to address it, and I did it out of love, but you know what? It's not just because it caused sorrow to me. It caused sorrow to some degree to everybody there in that body. Now here's the hint, verse 6, sufficient for such a one is this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Verse 8, wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. So he's referring to somebody in particular, right? A him, a male, a guy. And generally speaking, it's believed, and I believe this is true, what we saw over in 1 Corinthians, remember the man that was having an affair with his father's wife? And they were sort of proud of it and didn't really deal with it. They thought they were just being free and everything. And he says, no, don't do this. Don't do this. If he refuses to repent, then hand him over to Satan that his spirit might be saved. Well, what in the world is that about? Remember, well, the handing over to Satan is, send him out of the body of Christ. Don't let him gather with you anymore. Send him back into the world. If he's truly saved, he'll still be saved. And from what Paul said, that his spirit might be saved, we understand that he really is truly saved, but he's walking in rebellion. And so hand him over to Satan means send him back to the world. Well, apparently, what does he say right here? Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority. They did it. They did. The majority tells you not everybody agreed with it. Okay, but so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. He repented. He repented. So he's saying, forgive him, comfort him, lest he be overwhelmed by sorrow. In other words, reaffirm your love for him. When somebody has done something like this, somebody's done anything, and we do what we're supposed to do, and sometimes it boils down to where you separate fellowship from them. You see that in Corinthians. You see it in Matthew. You see it in Titus. There's times when we're called to remain aloof from them, not to fellowship with them, that they might be drawn back into fellowship with the body of Christ. When that occurs, that's when we need to double and triple down on our affirmation of love. That's when we come along and we forgive and we comfort and we come alongside them, lest they be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Lest the enemy seizes the moment in their life. See? So this guy that we saw in 1 Corinthians, it looks like he actually repented. And now Paul's really encouraged them and saying, hey, now you come back. You love him. You reaffirm that love. You forgive him. You comfort him. Because this is the way that the body of Christ functions together. It's a great thing, is it not? Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.